Good morning and welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and I am bringing to you excerpts from the seventh wonder.
Because the Lord is my shepherd, in a meadow grass, yeah. And then he leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing hands, and he helps me to do what I am in the world. That's why I'm safe. I feel so safe. That's why.
Yes, we are safe in his arms because the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. Good morning. We're bringing to you the excerpts from the 2005 retreat of the Ministry of the Seven Wonders, in which the 23rd Psalms was presented. But before we go into our reading, we do want to acknowledge our consecration scripture this morning. We want to be able to be in exciting preparation for this 2015 retreat, the last one of its kind. And because we are in our consecration time, as the staff and those that are involved in presenting this to the people of God, we are in a scriptural walking that will help prepare our hearts to be on one accord as we come together at the Hyatt in O'Hara, November 19th through the 22nd, for the last retreat, sexual relational healing retreat of its kind in the Chicagoland. And we have with us this morning the intercessor for the Ministry of the Seven Wonders, Minister Evangelist Roberta, who will read us our consecration scripture. Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
Good morning, Minister Paulette. I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I am just blessed of God and excited for that which he has for his people. So would you share our consecration scripture with us this morning?
Yes, I will. Our consecration scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 and verse 7, and it reads as follows. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient.
Amen, amen. We hear in that scripture, our roles are varied, but our goal is one, and that is to bring those into the knowledge of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our presentation of this retreat, sexual relational healing retreat, 7 wonders of the 23rd Psalm, we took it from the aspect of the shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. And it is authored in a book that I will share with you at the end. But there are several places in Scripture where God is very specific about his relationship with us, specific to a point where he goes step by step of his heart for us. Now, one of those places is the 23rd Psalms, but the other, or the 23rd Psalms I think of, is the book in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 16. And we have the apostle with us this morning, and she's going to share that scripture with you before we go into the reading for the 23rd Psalm. Apostle?
Apostolic blessings and greetings unto you. I am honored to be able to share this particular passage because it is based off of this particular passage that we have written. The Lord has spoken and given such clear direction. So the word of the Lord says in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, and we're going to start around the 3rd verse. "Tell her," the Lord says, "you are no better than the people of Canaan. Your father must have been an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. When you were born, no one cared for you. When I first saw you, your umbilical cord was uncut and you were neither washed nor rubbed with salt nor clothed. No one had the slightest interest in you. No one pitied you or cared for you. On that day when you were born, you were dumped into an open field and left to die and unwanted. But I came by and saw you there, covered with your own blood, and I said unto you, Hava, or live. Thrive like a plant in the field, and you did. You grew up and became a tall, slender, supple, a jewel among jewels. And when you reached the age of madamhood, your breasts were full-formed, and your pubic hairs had grown, yet you were naked. Later, when I passed by you and saw you again, you were old enough for marriage, and I wrapped my cloak around you to legally declare my marriage vow. I signed a covenant with you, and you became mine. Then, when the marriage had taken place, I gave you beautiful clothes of linen and silk, embroidered and sandals made of dolphin hide. I gave you lovely ornaments, bracelets, and beautiful necklaces, a ring for your nose and 2 more for your ears, a lovely tiara for your head, And so when you were made beautiful with gold and silver, and your clothes were silk and linen and beautifully embroidered, you ate the finest foods and became more beautiful than ever. You looked like a queen, and so you were. Your reputation was great among the nation for your beauty. It was perfect because of all of the gifts I gave you, saith the Lord God.
Amen. Amen. We thank Apostle for the reading of Ezekiel 16th chapter, starting with the 4th verse through the 5th verse, I believe. And we are receiving in that word from God his heart for us, how he viewed, how he saw us in such a deep need, and his commitment of love towards us. And that's part of the heritage, if you will, of the seven wonders in the Word. You know, God has such a passion and a message for us. He desires to establish his love in our hearts, and he will not stop until all who are his are safely in his arms, which is why we so enjoy the opening song, because the psalmist was able to put to music this heart of God, and then what it resulted for us, the fact that it made us safe in his arms. His message is as varied as the number of his children, but we rejoice in being able to share some of these things with you that he has given to comfort and to encourage and to enlighten his children. And so we look at The Lord is My Shepherd, the 23rd Psalm. We look at it from the viewpoint of a shepherd, because David was a shepherd, and he was able to pin the relationship that God wanted to have with us based on his knowledge of the shepherd's responsibility to the sheep. David desired to express his heart to God and brought him to consider their relationship as that of a shepherd and his sheep. David chose the one thing he had full and intimate knowledge of. It was the perfect illustration, the perfect example in nature that would clearly communicate how important God to him and how much he valued their relationship. David wanted God to hear from his heart how deeply he needed God and could not live without him. He acknowledged the fact that God saw him waddling in his blood with no one to care. And David saw himself as a sheep and God as a shepherd. David understood the importance of a shepherd with a heart for his sheep. A shepherd with the skill, the resources, and ability to attend to the many needs of each sheep and to ensure the safety and well-being of the flock. The commitment of the shepherd to the sheep involved faithful, sacrificial planning for the journey the sheep must take, the journey that would take a year and was necessary if the sheep were to grow and to thrive. The shepherd had to have the patience and love to lead them. The shepherd had to know the route. He had to become familiar with the route in order to plan ahead once he had the sheep with him. So he pervaded the land and the journey and the path that they would take. The shepherd had to have an intimate, full knowledge of the habits and character traits of each sheep in his flock. He had to know the ones that were prone to wander off, the ones that were stubborn. The good shepherd named all the sheep in his flock. He called them by name. And if there were another sheep grazing among his sheep, but not respond to his voice and not the voice of another. There is no other livestock that requires more careful handling, tail direction, and intimate care as do sheep. They must be constantly reassured and their many fears quieted before they will graze or even lie down. Prior knowledge and preparation of the path the sheep are to take is essential. The shepherd had to go ahead of the flock and eliminate any toxic vegetation along the way by hand, a tedious process that only a loving, committed shepherd would undertake. He will leave nothing to chance, nothing short of a laboring commitment to to be watchful over his flock day and night, nothing short of a laboring commitment to be visually watchful. The shepherd has to understand how insecure and frightened they are most of the time. He has to be able to anticipate the reaction of the flock to the many hazards and dangers they would encounter. He must understand how agitated they get without the physical presence of their shepherd. He must know how prone they are to disease, how they are tormented by insects. They often bang their heads against rocks to try to rid themselves of the parasites. He must guard against the habits of the sheep that can harm them and place them in jeopardy. He has to provide the care that they need. The shepherd prepares a mixture to put on their heads that will help them survive the attack of the insects and parasites that lay eggs in their head and that hatch larvae that bore into the sheep's brain. Such a picture of the battle and the journey of Christians. Anointing their head with this mixture also insulated them from the scab, a disease that is passed on to the other sheep by their habits of rubbing heads against each other while playing. The mating ritual of the male to headbutt to gain in control in the mating season is rendered harmless by the anointing oil on their heads. Most of our contamination by the world, by sin, by what defiles and diseases us spiritually, come through our minds, our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our choices. Our impulses, drives, and desires are all shaped and molded through exposure of our mind to other people's minds and opinions. The only way to free our minds of the world's influence is to be conscious daily, hourly, of the purging presence of the Holy Spirit applying himself to our minds, that we might have the mind of Christ. Though the shepherd knows how the sheep hate getting its wool trimmed, he understands trimming is necessary to keep its wool at a safe length. We have to be purged. When its wool gets weighted down with moisture, debris, and filth, they lose their balance and become cast down. Lord, what an image of a Christian. A cast down sheep is one that ends up on its back, legs up in the air. This position places them in grave danger, and they are totally helpless and unable to right themselves. Oh, how God knows his children. The shepherd must turn the cast-down sheep upright with his staff, physically restoring the sheep to his proper position. In Scripture, the priest was not allowed to wear wool when entering the Holy of Holies. Wool spoke of self-pride, personal preference, which is not tolerated in the presence of God. Wool is depicted as the old self-life. Wool was representative of the outward expression of an inner attitude, the assertion of our own desires, hopes, and aspirations. The old self is the area of our life on which and through which we are continually in contact with the world around us. Here is where we find the clinging accumulation of things, of possessions, of worldly ideas beginning to weigh us down, drag us down, hold us down, and we become cast down, unable to right ourselves. The shepherd is always leading them to richer grazing ground and fresh water. They have to be kept on the move constantly and never left to graze on their own. For the sheep will blindly follow one another along the same path until the ground is filled with ruts, and then the ruts become gullies and the sheep become a bag of bones on ruined land because there's no more nutrients in the soil. It just worn it down with tradition that does not nourish. They would destroy the grazing area by consuming everything, including the roots of the plants, leaving the land ravished and barren, and the ground trampled down and stripped, infested with their waste and parasites that would torment them. But when kept on the move, they improve and enrich where they graze. They will eat just enough to stimulate the soil, fertilize the area with their manure. It is the richest manure available, and leave the land in better condition. The land flowing with milk and honey was the place the shepherd had properly led his flock through and caused the natural balance to be restored and the land to flourish with all that is good and pleasant. Sheep do not have the instinct to find what will keep them alive. They are so fearful, they fear the way to life, giving power of the richest tableland. They fear the journey, and they don't want to take it. But through the valley is the only route to the high country with its lush, green summer ranges. The long summer trek will be spent in the close companionship and solitary care of the good shepherd. Day and night, the shepherd watches over them. This part of the journey is in the background of the rugged mountains, rushing rivers, avalanches, rock slides, and poisonous plants. There are many life-threatening dangers lurking in the shadows between the mountains of the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd is willing and able to provide the protection they need from their ever-present stalkers, lions, bears, wild dogs, coyotes, all the natural enemies of the sheep, laying, hiding, watching, waiting for a moment of opportunity to slip in among the flock and cause a silent slaughter, as David had his battle with the bear and with the lion, because of his commitment to keeping his sheep. But this path leads to the purest water source, the finest grazing grounds, and the best place for the sheep to thrive and for their young to grow. The shepherd wants only the best for his sheep. The newly melted snow from the mountaintop will provide an abundance of ever-flowing springs of pure waters. These springs will provide the life-giving refreshment his sheep need. Unpolluted and free from disease-causing insects that torment the sheep. His superior advantage over the enemy of his sheep. He has advantage. Armed with his rod and his staff, the shepherd will accompany his sheep through the shadows of death. The shepherd will rely on the rod to protect his sheep from danger. The rod is an extension of his arm and used as a defense and a deterrent. He uses it to beat the bushes and uncover unseen dangers like snakes waiting to strike an unsuspected sheep. The rod is a symbol of his strength, his power, his authority over all situations. In Scripture, God's rod is an extension of his mind, his will, and his intention for man. God's word will meet and master the difficulties of every situation and every circumstance. The sheep derive great comfort from the presence of the rod. Their fears are dispelled and they are able to continue their journey through this valley filled with its shadows of danger. The rod is also used to discipline the sheep. The shepherd will throw the rod through the air in the direction of a sheep getting close to danger like poisonous plants. The whistling sound it makes as it goes through the air will redirect the sheep back to the flock in safety. Oh, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When a sheep goes under the rod, he has been counted and examined. The shepherd moves the wool back with the rod to check his sheep's skin for hidden problems, wounds, and any danger or signs of disease. So each sheep has to go under the rod, as they call it, to be examined. He looks over them with great care and makes sure all is well. The staff, a symbol of concern, is used only for the care and management of sheep. It is designed, shaped, and adapted especially to the needs of his sheep, and it is used only for their benefit. The staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. The shepherd is able to keep the sheep in close, intimate contact with his staff. It is used to communicate the concern and presence of the shepherd. He uses his staff to lift the new lambs and place them next to their mom. The sheep would reject the new lamb with the scent of the shepherd because they would not be able to distinguish their lamb from the shepherd. And so they would be frightened of their own lamb. So the shepherds, the sheep are timid and shy and tend to keep their distance from the shepherd, but they allow him to draw them with his staff. So as he places their young next to them, they are only being in contact with the familiar staff. The shepherd uses the staff to gently guide the sheep along a path. The shepherd rests the staff on the sheep's side and applies a gentle pressure. This assures the sheep they are going in the right path. As they walk, the staff is against their side. It's as though they are walking hand in hand with the shepherd. They enjoy the special attention and they are greatly comforted. The staff also is how the sheep the staff also is how the shepherds will lift the sheep out of entangled, endangering situations when they're cast down. And what he uses to free the sheep when they become entangled and have gotten themselves into the briars and the thistles. They are drawn to him and they will go wherever he leads them. Sheep of a lesser shepherd will never know nor understand the rewards, benefits, and blessings of belonging to a good shepherd. They will never overcome their fears. They have no one to trust who can lead them to the tableland experience. No one able to make the sacrifice needed to get them to the table. The joys and delight the valley path leads to will never be available to them, but only the good shepherd can transform the sheep so that they will go beyond their fears and transcend their limitations. It's only when the sheep are no longer subject to its natural characteristics and traits and habits, but are empowered by the presence and the love of the good shepherd, will they be able to go up on the mountain to the wealthy place because they have trusted in the hand and the strength of the good shepherd. It has brought peace and quietness to their flesh, and they now possess his spirit. They can make sure a journey. All has been provided by the good shepherd, and not temporarily, but permanently. The investment of the good shepherd in his beloved sheep secures them a place with him always, and they shall want no more. That was the wonder writing for the 23rd Psalm in the year 2005. And so I just want to now read to you the 23rd Psalm, even though I think it's one of the first or perhaps second Bible passages that we are often told and taught to memorize when we first come into the knowledge of the Word of God. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen and amen. We just thank God for that visual picture that David so eloquently painted of our relationship with the Almighty. We have some callers on the line, and we'll go to those callers now. We have, is this Elder Deborah? We have praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Elder? Really? Wow. Don't know that Elder Deborah is aware we're having kind of technical difficulties with that transmission. But we still have Evangelist Roberta on the line. Any comments or questions, or not questions, but sharing, moments of sharing with us, Evangelist?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Yes, ma'am.
There was a very informative reading about the sheep. But I was trying to, I wasn't quite sure about the lambs. I was trying to hear it. I guess I kind of missed about the lambs being with the shepherd, how I believe you said that they, I guess the shepherd has to handle the lambs with the rod as well, so they wouldn't be.
Well, you know, on the journey, Evangelist, the sheep often had babies.
Right.
And those new lambs had to be given to the mother because
mm-hmm.
the sheep needed such care. And so the way the shepherd would have to do it would be to not pick the lamb up, but rather to pick it up with his staff. Because if the sheep received the baby, the lamb, that the shepherd had given them, the lamb would smell like the shepherd, and then the sheep would be afraid to nurse their own babies. And so he had to use that staff to pick the baby up to give them to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And for the mother to then care for them, because then what the mother would smell would be the staff, which they were
mm-hmm.
very familiar with the smell of the staff, and that was a comforting. And so the
mm-hmm.
sheep were in such need of reassurance on everything. They're very timid and very frightened, and they would be scared at the least little thing, the least little sound, and the least little change in their environment. And so it was the job of the shepherd to bring them to a place of peace and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reference being made to the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought that you had seen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But yes, this time is read, I believe, quite a bit, even at funerals. And people find comfort in the words of this psalms, that he leads them in the green pastures and by the still waters, and especially in the path of righteousness, you know. And you can see sometimes if you've been with if you've read this even to people that are making their transition or right before they make their transition, and it says, you know, we're in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear
mm-hmm.
no evil. You know, this psalm tend to find comfort in these words, you know.
Yes,
but
yes,
even
yes,
as
yes.
the if we look at our not just you know, our Heavenly Father as our you know, the shepherd, but the shepherd that he places over us, you know, such as apostle, you know. Apostle, I find that she leads us well, you know. And she watches over us, and if we listen to her and what she tells us, and when she delivers the messages that God has given her, you know, it keeps us on the right path. And you know, she know her sheep. She know us very well, you know. And That's a good shepherd that knows their sheep.
Amen.
You know, know them when they're down, know them when they're up, and you haven't said a word to her.
Amen.
But she knows. She knows.
Yes, yes.
And that's, I believe that's how our leaders that God has placed over his sheep should be. They should know them, each one of their sheep, and be sensitive to, you know, the leading and the guiding of them.
Amen.
You know, and the feeding of their sheep, and knowing, like when you mentioned about the sheep getting too heavy, the fur.
Yes.
And the,
yes.
You know, falling over on their back, mm-hmm. and not being able to get up. The shepherd mm-hmm. should know when their sheep mm-hmm. has gotten overloaded with the burden of life or whatever they're going through, and catch them even before they fall on their back,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they fall, you know, be there to pick them up and get them back on the right path. So I enjoy the reading on
Amen.
Today and the
Amen.
The word.
Amen.
You
Thank
keep
you.
The good work up. Yes,
well,
yes.
We are all laboring together. Thank God. We thank God for your insight. We are grateful to the Lord for the staff of the Ministry of the Seven Wonders, and we thank God for His Spirit that is upon each one as they do those things that are necessary to bring this ministry to God's people. I believe we have Pastor Lazarus on the line as well this morning. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
We are blessed and we are rejoicing in the day that the Lord has made. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know if you wanted to share.
No. I haven't appreciated the ministry this morning of the Holy Spirit. I know when I was studying the 23rd Psalms one night, I couldn't sleep, actually, and the Lord just kept talking to me about it and ministering it to me, and what was shared this morning brought some confirmation to that, and how different it looks. Every shepherd's sheep aren't the same. The environment isn't the same, and that just brings encouragement when you try to walk in the office in which God has anointed me to.
Amen. I think it ties so well with Pastor is sharing with the consecration scripture as well, because there are many members, you know, of one body, and so it does look different for each member as they go through and as they prepare and as they're being prepared. It doesn't always look the same, and that's one of the jobs of a good shepherd, is to know each sheep, to know each sheep by name, and know their particular habits, not just in general as a whole flock, but as individual members of the flock. It was the shepherd's responsibility to understand and know who they were, to call them by name, and to know when there was someone that was in the midst that was not his, and to know what would frighten this one and what wouldn't frighten that one. And this one having a tendency maybe to wander off or to just blindly follow, or this one that has a tendency to be rebellious, or just all of the traits and the natures, you know, of if you calm this one, it'll calm the rest of them. And that was the job of the shepherd. And that's how they maneuvered their sheep on the journey. That's how they were able to provide the guidance and the instructions even for the sheep of the way to go and what to do and even how long to do it. And I often enjoy the thought of the shepherd anointing the heads of the sheep, because when there's some things that are on our minds and we can't get, you know, can't get beyond them, they do torment us, just like the insects that bore into the to the heads of the sheep, unless the heads of the sheep were anointed with this oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, and that brings clarity and correction and instruction. And how we are able to overcome if we will just surrender to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to the work of the Good Shepherd in our lives. We are just so blessed to have a Father that loves us and has made that covenant with us that the apostle read this morning. He covenanted with us. And everything, if you realize and think about those two particular scriptures, everything that was needed was provided by God, provided by the Good Shepherd, provided by the one who looked and saw us in a need. The sheep really didn't do anything. And that young one that was in birth and wallowing in their own blood didn't do anything. They just surrendered to the love and the touch of the Father in their lives to lift them up and to wash them off and to care for them, to dress them, to anoint them, to beautify them, and then give them a place of power as well as a place of honor. As in the scripture in Ezekiel, he said they were renowned once he had lifted them up and had dressed them and beautified them. And so we just worship God and we surrender to the realization of really our process. And our process, the realization of our process is that he who started the good work will finish it. He will finish it. We do want to make sure that those that are on the line that want to share are able to share. And so you're available. If you want to speak, go right ahead. You have the floor, if you will. All lines are open and free for sharing. So we have area code 872. You're live. Area code 213, I believe that's the elder. Yes. You're live.
Can you hear me, overseer?
Yes, yes, we hear you.
Yes, I'm glad to be able to just kind of join in. That was just hearing the details, how descriptive you were talking to, when you were talking about the attentiveness of the shepherd, you know, the visuals on that were just, to me, really outstanding because we are so familiar with that passage, but yet being so unfamiliar with practically, you know, what a shepherd and sheep, you know, being in an urban situation. And so I think every time that those things are unpacked like that, it gives us just more and more insight, kind of illuminates, you know, that passage in such a way, just giving us the comfort that if we allow ourselves to be shepherded, that all of those provisions are already there, that the shepherd already knows exactly what we need, how to do it, you know, be it discipline, be it provision for food and nutrients, be it to keep us from danger, to be proactive before sickness, illness, and disease even comes. You know, so all of those things, hearing you talk about that and even referencing the book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, because it does give us insight that we wouldn't normally have as Christians in the 21st century, living in an urban environment, that sometimes I think that it is just so powerful to go back and revisit those things, and it just shows us and reiterates how rich the Word of God is, that you can just handle something over and over and over again, and the Holy Spirit will give illumination, and then just on a practical piece, when you go back and look at it in context to really what the shepherd was doing on, you know, on the hillside, and how that speaks to us and how we are sheep, you know, and just not having the wherewithal to make the decisions, the wherewithal to keep the danger away from, you know, our cranium, you know, just that whole thing of anointing our heads with the parasites, mm-hmm. let alone when it's connected with the whole mating season, you know, just all of those things, all of those analogies, and all of those examples that you were giving, you know, just make me, you know, make me want to read it and look at it again and again, and just see what the word is really, you know, speaking to us. Even with the rod, there were so many things that you shared that I had never really heard in that kind of a context. You know, we hear about the rod and the staff, and certainly the staff to kind of pull them, you know, to hook you back in. But just the whole idea of the rod and how we can hear God's voice, you know, made me envision the quiet, you know, the still voice, you know, but that you can hear it, you know, that he speaks to us on the wings of the wind, you know, just really powerful. So I have definitely enjoyed you this morning. And like I was saying earlier, it took my mind back to that wonder that was just spectacular just in its display. You know, I thank God for your ministry and how he uses you in that capacity. And even with the Ezekiel 16 passage that Apostle shared, and having been honored to have sat under her teaching that on a couple of occasions, that is just such a powerful passage, and just shows us the attentiveness of grace that the Father has for us, how he loves us and how he's concerned for us when you know, while we were yet in our sin, so to speak, you know, when we did nothing and do nothing deserving, you know, that it is all by his grace and his favor and just his willingness to bestow, you know, his benevolence on us. You know, just thank you for, you know, thank you for it. You know, it has really blessed me this morning. So, you know, I pray that you guys are blessed, and thank you for the ministry.
Amen. You know, I am just so blessed to even be able, as the Lord shares his message, and as he uses his people, and he brings such a picture of heaven's heart for us. Such a clear picture in the form that we can relate to, even though we aren't shepherds and we don't understand, you know, that lifestyle of a shepherd and a sheep, but how that had to so empower David that he would stand against a giant in full confidence, you know, that the God of Israel would prevail. And how that is to bring that confidence in us in just knowing heaven's heart for us and how important we are and how great God is, and then translating that into, if you will, the strength that straightens our back and causes us to stand, endure, and overcome because of who he is and because of what he has done. And the fact that is ours, and that is ours forever. It is unchanging. Yeah. It is eternal, and it is uncorruptible. And, you know, it is such a value that it makes us, it should make us bow and worship to one who will love us so intently and so fully. And we were that sight that he saw in the field, you know, drowning in our own blood in our own field, but no one else wanted. And yet he took us. And so
absolutely.
I want to share, I praise God, I wanted to share the resource for that writing of the first Holy Spirit. And then Philip Keller does the Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. And he provided some of the knowledge of what a shepherd is required to do. And so the life of a shepherd, which often we're really in this day and age not really familiar with, but when he gave that insight, it was such an analogy and a parallel of what the Father does for us. So we do want to acknowledge that he also has a work of the gardener's look at the fruit of the Spirit as well. And so
Can I share one other thing with you, Overseer?
Sure, absolutely, yes.
I just wanted to say that, you know, when you were presenting and, you know, you're talking about the shepherd, what came to mind was that as leaders, a lot of times we're interested in our position being uplifted and prominent. But, you know, this shows what true leadership really is, where the sheep are the prominent piece of that. And I think that coupled with the whole idea that a lot of times when we hear this passage, people are talking about the preparing the table before me in the presence of my enemies, that a lot of times is a focal point on that. But I think the way that you presented it today really got down to the nuts and bolts of, you know, the leader's job is to give their life, you know, the shepherd's job to give their life for the sheep. And we really don't hear that so much now. You know, a lot of the stuff is promoting the leaders, you know, or promoting the shepherd, you know. And when I say shepherd, I mean little as not the shepherd, you know. But but ministers, you know, ministers in the ministerial work, as opposed to the sheep being the focal point. And you know, and just the care and concern. And, you know, and I think that this lesson kind of brought that back to that we need to understand what it is that we have been all called to do, no matter in what, you know, the marketplace or in the sanctuary or whatever. It's the sheep. You know, he leaves the 90 and the 9 for the one, and that we have to change our mindset to get back, you know, to that paradigm that Philip Keller is talking about, you know. So I just wanted to just...
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I love it. I know that Evangelist Roberta had also mentioned, you know, the fact of the sheep being becoming appreciative of the shepherding, and putting that in real time, where, you know, we are the actually, you know, obstinate ones, but the shepherd must make such huge sacrifices for the sheep. And it is, you know, 24/7 type deal. Like, yet, you know, can't let up. You know, truly they shepherd our soul. And and oftentimes pastor makes the analogy of the sheep, goats, and wolves, and how often we, you know, we kick at the shepherd when the shepherd is trying to shepherd us to a wealthy place. And so just appreciating even the shepherd that God has given us, shepherds after his own heart, to shepherd us, and the great sacrifice they have to make and commitment they must make. And it has to be in line with the great shepherd. And so when they take on that task of shepherding, it becomes a very powerful, life-changing commitment that the shepherds are making. And so we do thank God for that. We thank God for all of you sharing, being a part of the ministry of Words from the Word. We appreciate our listening audience, those that are live and those that come and listen at any time, and you can listen as you call in to log into Blog Talk Radio, labors-for-christ ministry, and you can listen to any of the archived messages from any of the Blog Talk Radio family. And we have many ministries are online sharing as part of the vision that the apostle has for 24-hour church, so that at any time you can receive the inspiration and encouragement and teaching and reflection and quality consecrating time with the Lord and worshipful time with the Lord through any of a number of the Blog Talk family sessions. So we do thank you. We are excited about the upcoming retreat, and we pray that your weekend has started on a wonderful note and that you will rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.